Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Our treat today is saying goodbye to May as we welcome in June, National Pride Month, and Indigenous Peoples Day and Month. It is going to be exciting, but what we wanted to do, because we had so many positive calls and feedback, social media notes about the programs we did in May, we're going to give you little snippets and little taste bites of those shows. We are going to start with our first one where we announced a special program for Mother's Day. We had a pop-up. People popped up without long periods of rehearsal. They popped up and they shared a Mother's Day poem, a tribute to a mother. So we're going to give you a taste of that, and we will be sprinkling in some of the special things that we did to help you feel more loved, help you feel more nurtured by nature. May is a nurturing month. It has so many things in it. We are flowing through to let you have another sample of some of those shows. And then be not dismayed, we have got a lot of things coming up for June. So I am Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, getting out of the way for you to hear what we have put together today. Today, making a special dedication of the show to my mother, Algene Burleson. And the 3rd of May in 1993, she made her transition home. So one of the poems, or a couple of poems that I'll be sharing today are things that emerged from paying tribute to her and also dealing with the feelings that come with loss. We are today going to be welcoming the poets to write a poem of their own. There was a prompt, the roots of poetry or the roots of motherhood, but people were also invited because this is a freedom show. If people didn't have something for the prompt, they could write something, a sentiment that resonated with them. So without further ado, I'm going to let the first poet that signed on today, Janice. Janice is going to introduce herself and share her poem.
Welcome to this wonderful event. I have done this before with Charlotte, and it's always so fun, so inspirational, and so invigorating because it brings out your creative spirit to come back and do some things later after the program, just not to hear other people, to start to have confidence in your own voice. I wrote this in November of last year, 23, because in January of 23, my mother had passed away, Phyllis Ann. It's not exactly a poem, but it is poetic to me. This was a year of grieving. This is what it looks like. This is how losing your mother feels. It's messy, tiring, angering, unbelieving, grieving, relieving, and deceiving. It wasn't supposed to go like this. It was just another page to be turned. It was an unexpected, expected, rejected again feeling. We weren't close, but we found a place to be. I never felt good enough. I never felt pretty enough. I never felt worthy enough. I was never enough. I was an ugly duckling in my mind. I looked in the mirror and saw rejection. What had I done? What else should I do? What could I be? Certainly not a good enough daughter. Can't prove it now. The cloud is larger than you thought. It is sending hail when you wanted rain. The snowfall will be comforting after this storm. I seek the peace.
Seeking a snowstorm after that is a beautiful ending. Who would like to provide some feedback to Janice?
I would. Okay. I did not expect this combination of reactions that you expressed upon the passing of your mother. I just was a revelation to me. But yeah, all of these things, and how much our own mother has defined our identity. Yes. Wow, that's very powerful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to say something, Janice. I totally relate to the lament that you had in that poem. And I really appreciate that there's somebody out there that could hear me if I was to share my experience of my mother and the grieving for her. And thank you for that. That was an interesting, informative, and it touched me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is there another?
Yes, I'd like to say a few words to Janice. Janice, I could really relate to all that you were saying, those mixed emotions, messy, grieving, deceiving. And then, you know, like so much is expected of you and you never feel enough. That thing I really agreed with. And now, what could I do? What could I be? Kind of a thing. So thank you so much for putting it all out there so poignantly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, and then that last line was lifting. You know, we look at the lament, but then there was the hope. Beautiful. Thank you. Neil now was the second person. You know, we use a fair system with pop-up poetry. Instead of going and waiting half an hour for one person to read all of their work, we make it possible for round robin, but on a sign-in basis, whoever pops into our gathering room, whether it's a physical gathering space or a Zoom space, that's the order of their presentation. So, Neil, introduce yourself and share what you have brought.
Yes, my name is Neil Ryan. I'm an artist, spoken word. I also indulge in painting, which you can see behind me. Those are my works. And when I was searching through my list of poems today, this poem called Mother Womb, The Bonding, I have no idea whose it is. I have no idea how it got to be among my poetry. It might be out of my, I have a poetry group in Michigan that I read with quite frequently, but this, I'm not supposed to, I don't have a womb. I have a heart, and this poem spoke to my heart. It's called Mother Womb, The Bonding. Blooming in the garden of my womb, buds of joy and roses of sparkle, you request unto me, twisting and dancing in joy, give me the pleasure of bearing you wherever I go. You are offering me new challenges in existence. You are diving me with hopes and new dawns. This is time I grow in thought and spirit to gather many a treasure for your coming into the world. Into a banyan tree, I shall grow my branches, engrossing all the sunlight into my soul. I energize my metal to leap boundaries and dive into the ocean to find pearls for your life. Celebrating every moment with you is the essence of my joy. Every child is a blessing to its mother. Every mother grows new treasures by giving birth. She rises wise and mighty, wrapped in love and cared with warmth, the child becomes father of man, And this is true divine blessing with no disguise. A child born 10 months in joy, twisting and turning in mummy's tummy, to every mother is womanhood to the fullest. Thank you. To whoever it was that wrote it, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone have a comment or thought? Elizabeth?
Oh. My daughter had given birth about almost 2 years ago, and it just made me think about her as a new mother. And she would like to have another child. So that's a beautiful poem.
I wanted to say both poems were quite reflective, but I had nothing really to say because it was so overwhelming, the first one. And the second one, my parents both departed 25 years ago, 2 months apart, but a joyous time is that a grandnephew of my fiance came into the world just on Sunday. So that is quite, and that is a miracle.
It's a beautiful miracle. Okay, Janice?
Thank you, Neil. Yes. In a time when we are battling so furiously to protect mothers and babies, I just feel that once again we have to continue to, especially the line about the miracle. It is a miracle every single time. And sometimes we deny that miracleness of it. And so for you to bring that to share with us, since it's mostly ladies here today, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. I am a little embarrassed because the beard betrays my gender. So thank you. Thank you for all.
We're going to be moving on with more poems, but just around that point, one of the men that may be joining us today, we had a discussion about mothering is an adjective as well as a verb, so that as question was, can men mother things? And so mother doesn't just relate to females, but this particular man has birthed about 10 different types of programs for children to nurture their dreams. So we'll just mate as we get further along with everyone getting to present. I have a little discussion about that. Welcome, Wilda. We are in the midst of our pop-up poetry, and you popped up looking like you have come from an adventure. Wilda, here.
Time, because I am in the midst of writing my children's, actually, it is a mother's poetry journal. And I don't know, it's sort of like a journal. It's sort of like a guide. It's poems. And it's all on newborns and pregnancy and birth. So when I told me you guys were talking about that, women, I was like, this is perfect.
Okay, well, we'll have a chance. What we do is we use a round robin. And so people are doing their first poem in the order that people signed in. So next, it is Karen. No, Dr. Ramona. I'm trying to read a board that has got light gray on white. But Dr. Ramona, welcome.
Okay, thank you, Charlotte. So everyone, hello, and I'm Ramona. I am a retired professor from Bombay University, and currently I live in Toronto with my children. And I must say that I am not a poet. I don't know how to write poems. So all my writing is academic. So books, textbooks, books on in history and French. So I really struggled today to write this poem, and I've entitled it Unforgettable, and that's just because of the song, but I'm not going to sing, I'm going to read this poem to you. So here it goes, please bear with me. In the depths of my heart, a tribute I pay to a mother so beautiful in every way. Olympia Rosa, her name so divine, with grace and love, she forever will shine. Fair as the moon, her presence did gleam, with eyes of greenish gray, like a tranquil stream. Always well dressed, she exuded pure grace, a vision of elegance in every place. She taught me to sing a melody so sweet, encouraging my dreams with love complete. Proud of my achievements, she cheered me on, a guiding light till the break of dawn. Her joy was to dance, her spirit so free, filling our lives with laughter and glee. A healer of hearts, she rushed to aid neighbors and friends when they were afraid. Etched in my mind, her memory remains, a beacon of love that forever sustains. Olympia Rosa, a mother so dear, in my heart, your presence will always be near. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Ramona, do not ever again say you're not a poet.
I am going to speak to you. I was a teacher for 46 years of English. You stop saying that. Don't ever say those words again. They are lies. They are lies. Don't talk them. Now, second of all, throw away the rule book, people. There is no such thing as a rule book for poetry. When I was teaching, that was the first thing I had to do, because usually the boys didn't want to do poetry. So I had to trick them into loving the expression of their feelings. So you did that, but my, so graceful, so eloquent. Don't ever say that again. We so appreciate that you shared. You were brave enough to say, I think this is a poem. It is a poem. It became a poem today. You birthed it. You birthed it for Mother's Day. You are the mother of poetry today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Janice and Charlotte. Thank you very much.
Okay. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Ditto. Lots of
I've got to agree with Janice that this was eloquent. And my brother once said to me, I don't write poetry because it doesn't rhyme. And yet many people, when I read a poem, will say, wow, what a beautiful poem. So I want to say to you, wow, what a beautiful poem.
Thank you, Neil.
Just a reminder to our listeners, this is the Saluau Show, where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you hear. You might, after hearing this pop-up poetry, decide that you too can do a poem, that there aren't these hard and fast rules. I had that similar experience. I hated poetry in junior high school and high school. And then I had a couple of friends who said, oh, your poems don't rhyme. But now, you know, I'm in our element. We are not other people who are just respectful and reflective. And it does really takes my breath away to hear what you wrote as your first poem. And you can now sing as well as poet. So thank you.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
We are having a marvelous May buffet where guests will be dropping by and sharing delectable bites of information and inspiration. This is also, well, it's May Day, May Month, Mother's Day weekend. We're going to start off with one of our guests having a prayer. Kim, say hello, who you are. What did you bring to the table?
Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for having me here. It's so nice to be here, and I'd love to join you and talk more about this. But Just to start us off, I'd like to read a little prayer that resonated with me many years ago when I was 17 years old in high school and grade 12 and kind of having a challenging time in my life. And it's just the kind of a gift that I'd like to share with others in terms of, you know, how we can't change the situation sometimes, but we can always change our perspective. So it's a prayer for bad times by Richard Cardinal Cushing. Dear God, help me be a good sport in this game of life. I don't ask for an easy place in the lineup. Put me anywhere you need me. I only ask that I give you 100% of everything I have. And if all the hard drives seem to come my way, I thank you for the compliment. Help me remember that you never send a player more trouble than she can handle. And help me, Lord, to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. May I always play on the square, no matter what the others do. Help me study the book so I'll know the rules. Finally, God, if the natural turn of events goes against me and I am benched for sickness or old age, help me accept that as part of the game too. Keep me from whimpering that I was framed or got a raw deal. And when I finish the final inning, I ask for no laurels. All I want is to believe in my heart that I played as well as I could and I didn't let you down.
Thank you, Kim. Kim Egger, you belong to a program that sometimes has appeared on our Suluwa shows. Tell us a bit about Ecowisdom.
Well, Charlotte, I was always someone who tried to look at, you know, the things in life, the free gifts in life, the things that really matter the most. When we get right down to it, it's not about all the material possessions we can accumulate over our lifetime. It's really about our experiences that matter. And I would say that as I'm getting older, not only just is age and life experience teaching me, but I would say eco-wisdom really helped me to gain far more insight into all these wonderful gifts that we have. Part of my message, and when I was listening to and reading the prayer for bad times initially, was I was having difficulty in life and I was focusing on all the things I couldn't do. It was after, at one point, it was just before I had an accident where I broke my neck. And then when I had my accident, I really had to put things into full gear to look at, you know, why on earth would this happen to me? And it was probably the most challenging time in my life. But when I looked at my perspective on things started to change. And I realized, even though I can't walk again, what can I do? Instead of looking at all the things I could no longer do, which was very, you know, just made the situation a whole lot worse in terms of just adjusting to my new situation, having to live life in a wheelchair, among other issues that were a result of the accident. It also helped me to really create a really deep appreciation for all those things that were right before me that I hadn't appreciated so much. And that it sounds a bit cliche, but it's kind of like you don't know what you got until it's gone. Mm-hmm. And when that was gone for me, or at least I thought it was, all of a sudden, you know, I was feeling lonely. I was feeling like I had no future. And then when I think about, you know, the poem and the things that I've learned in eco-wisdom, eco-wisdom has helped me take that to a whole nother level, looking at the things I can, all these precious gifts that are right in front of us. You know, if no one can do everything they want to do, and I might not be able to walk to go to visit the animals in the park and all the children and just smile and wave at everyone, but it doesn't make any difference if I wheel to the park. In fact, I might say that it even enhances my experience because the kids love to gather around and I love that sense of connection with the children. And often I'll take a moment just to reflect and I have a sit spot in the park. And in fact, the wheelchair is even more comfortable because I can just recline in it and bask in the sun, listen to the laughter of the kids playing and the elders chatting it up. amongst each other in the playground. I can, such vibrant colors, especially right now in the spring. There's just so much to appreciate. And not only has eco wisdom taught me more and more about the gifts that can come in terms of just being more mindful, and even the gifts of, you know, boosting your immune system. There's lots of evidence to show the health benefits of just being in nature. And being in nature is something that almost always changes my mood for the better. If I'm feeling upset or maybe anxious or just like I need a break, you know, all I do is go outside, go for a walk, talk to some of my friends out there. And when I say friends, I mean trees, plants, everyone. And, you know, it just naturally lifts my spirit. Yeah, so that there's so many other ways. It's, you know, eco wisdom has, Kari has taught us a lot about self-care and how important it is to practice self-care. When we practice self-care, we become more resilient. We become healthier. And a lot of times I think I personally need to be reminded of that, because I, like a lot of people, and especially women in our society, women, mothers, we tend to put everybody else before ourselves. And, you know, I reached the point of burnout by doing that myself. And now I've learned so many more skills through being involved in the Eco Wisdom program that relate to self-care, resilience, you know, health benefits. I feel like it's opened a whole new world to me, really.
Speaking of whole new world, we're doing something different in the world today. We're having an imaginary outdoor breakfast buffet, and people are bringing things that we can enjoy that help us to digest some of the situations in life. So we're going to come back to another reading that you're going to give us. But I wanted to say to our listeners, this morning, this is the 10th of May. It is a wonderful day in our neighborhood. It's Mother's Day weekend. So during our broadcast today, one of the things we will be doing is recognizing or giving thanks to mothers. And more than everything, thanks to Mother Earth for putting up with us. As people who sometimes forget, don't give you thanks, and we're going to continue on. So just imagine yourself in the backyard, and we have plants. We're hearing about how being in nature, you don't have to go all the way to the forest. There, or even in your backyard, all along Vancouver, you see blossoms of magenta, green, yellow. Take a minute to appreciate and just say thank you, Mother Earth, for letting us be here still, even though we've neglected you. Maybe with this marvelous May Day, you'll make a recommitment to, in some way, enhancing the health of the earth. Ah, I see we have at the door, Karen Punky. Welcome to our buffet.
Hi, I have something similar to what Kim has said, but in a different perspective. I've been born disabled most of my life, have had to struggle with a lot of emotional things of people saying, I can't do this, and wanting to be involved in a lot of things. I would say I'm involved with Eco Wisdom as she is. It came along in my life when things were at a crossroad, when things weren't going exactly right, and I was just offered a chance to jump in at the last moment. And even during the course, I ended up having a traumatic fall that fractured my back. And if it wasn't for Eco Wisdom, I probably wouldn't have recovered as soon as I did from my fractured back. And even though I've been having a few medical problems ever since I've been involved, I've been able to handle the circumstances emotionally, and it just helped me get connected with nature, which I've always wanted to be connected and helping with nature with my ability. It's connected a whole lot of things that I've been involved with. I've been involved with the radio show with Charlotte for quite a while now, with her other pop-up shows. So I guess that's all what I have to say for now.
Sorry to interrupt. I know you're busy enjoying one of your favorite shows on CJSF, but it's your Sister C, your own Sister C, host of the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon Saluwa show on Friday mornings every week at 10 o'clock. So I'm here with a very, 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 very full voice. Thank you for listening to CJSF. Okay, I want to say this is a marvelous May. We are talking about nature, welcoming you to share and feel your experiences of the good things that have happened in May, and how May, with its sweeping winds and beautiful sunsets, is just reminding us of places within our lives that we can let a little sunshine in and let a little sunshine out to help others. I'm going to read a poem that is kind of around the transitions and stages in a mother's life. And it's called Mother Strong, Mother Soft. Mother strong and life embracing, little love's legs and feet, giving flight, giving light from dawn to dusk. Mother strong and life proclaiming, little rules for life's upbringing, quoting chapter, verse of scripture, hoping fertile seeds will follow. Mother strong in life rejoicing, pillows of love and laughter singing, cuddles, cuddles, chauffeured cars, hoping all will child not spoil. Mother turning life unbending, little twinges, steps that falter, some days soaring, others dwindling, wondering if all is worth the kindling. Mother soft in life unraveling, seeds she sowed, gathering, searching, probing tendrils wrapping round her, hoping that their paths will praise her. And there's a activity called bonding with, or sending metta, sending love to trees. And I found a difference in some of my poetry by writing that next to a tree. Have either of you had an experience writing, sharing something close to a tree? You know, from our sit spot, some people have written poems by a sit spot. Do either of you want to explain what is a sit spot? Do we have a
I can explain what a sit spot is, but we've also learned that a sit spot doesn't necessarily have to be one location. It's a place where you enjoy just watching things, observing things over time, but it can be also an area where you have a variety of places where you explore and observe. You can do the experience by slowly walking or even sitting, but you continuously go there and find other things to explore. Would you say, Kim, that would be a good explanation?
Yes, absolutely, Punky. I just learned about the benefits of a sit spot through the teachings that Kari and Eco Wisdom, among so many other things. And what I learned about the sit spot is it really is a practice of just finding a place, like you said, Charlotte, maybe it's a special tree, or in my case, it's actually the waterfall and the fish in the pond in my backyard, where we can sit quietly in the outdoors and better connect with the natural world. It helps me to find a state of relaxation and really improves my sense of well-being and connection with nature. I often go there just to take a few minutes out of my day. You don't always need to sit for 15 minutes. It's whatever you have time for. You know, even 30 seconds, 1 minute is better than no minutes a lot of times. And sometimes I'll just take a few moments out of my day to go sit by the pond where it's really quiet, watch the fish. And the sit spot, I feel so connected. There's a huge tree, cedar tree behind us, especially with all the flowers being in bloom right now, the azaleas, the rhododendrons, even the nice smell of the grass, just even watching my strawberries as they're growing. It's so neat this time of year. Even you can go to the same sit spot and find that it changes throughout the year, throughout the different seasons, and it's never the same twice, and there's never the same beings there that there are. We've got a beautiful big, a few other big trees in the backyard, and often I'll be able to say hi to my other friends. There's squirrels and just birds. We live next to a bird sanctuary. It's just a lovely place to really connect and just connect with nature, connect with yourself, and just feel a sense of relaxation. And for me, it's also just a sense of peace and joy, really.
You know, one of the things I'm happy about is through radio, I was able to hear about eco-wisdom. And this thing about a sit spot, I said, what in the world is that? And then with nature, I thought it meant I would have to find some place, like go to Van Dusen Gardens or go to the Queen Elizabeth or go somewhere, go to North Van and find this place. And to my surprise, just that thing within you where you want to settle down and have peace, if you're in a park, if you're in a backyard, that even where there might still be buses on the street, if you find this place that you take time to sit and then you notice what's there, there might be dogs. I saw a squirrel. I saw a baby squirrel, but it was only because I was thinking about, well, what is there within 10 minutes of my where I live? Walking the 10 minutes is helpful because we know 15 to 20 minutes of walking is good for our circulation, helps us to, you know, we're talking about marvelous May, to have an enjoyment of this marvelous shift in the weather by walking, not just staying in the environment of a car, staying in the environment of a house or a game, but getting out. And so what I noticed being close to this tree that was in front of a very busy apartment building, just sitting there waiting, I noticed up at the, how many things the tree was sheltering. Up at the top, there was obviously a mother bird because she got up and she's fussing at everybody, like, stay off, back off, get away. And then down on another level, there was a bird working on something. It was just shaking, shaking, shaking. Maybe it was trying to shake something to the people below or just shaking for attention. And then I noticed the gnarls. I at one point coming out of the building, I thought, what an ugly tree, because there were these big bumps along the way. Now I recognize those are roots. The roots are finding no places to water, which might be a problem for some of you if those roots come up through your, into your house. But feet, it was like, wow, this tree is supporting all these things because these roots run along. And it just took my mind into seeing the interdependence and feeling about how we're connected. So sitting there, 10 minutes, it gives you a chance to just think about how you're breathing, or to just breathe.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Today you're going to hear phenomenal leaders, developers in the nature and forest medicine world, the co-founder and director of Eco Wisdom, Dr. Carrie Crow, and our special guest, Carolyn Crowley, who is an acclaimed nature health expert on nature and forest therapy, who will share expert opinions and overviews on cultural appropriateness and the importance of Indigenous inclusion. We are lavishing a banquet of delectable information. And so without further ado, I'm going to have Dr. Carrie introduce others that are here in this conversation. Eco-wisdom is conversations about something that is being popularized, but people don't know the depths of. So we are going to go into helping you know and understand more about what nature and forest healing is about.
Thank you, Charlotte. And I want to say that I am so excited to have Carolyn join us today. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for being here with us. What a pleasure it was to have you come and speak to our group of trainees as nature and forest therapy guides. And it really resonated deeply. So now here we are able to spend this time with you again. So we are so pleased, as I said, to have Carolyn here. And I want to pass it over to her so she can actually introduce herself, because she's been involved in so many amazing projects doing such important work. Carolyn, welcome.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, everyone. And thank you for the invitation to share with everybody today. So my name is Carolyn Crawley. My pronouns are she and her. I was born in Mi'kmaq territory, which is also known today as Nova Scotia. But I live in Toronto. And so Toronto, or Takaronto, has been my home since a young child. So I've been here for 50 years. My ancestry, I'm Mi'kmaq, Black, and Irish. And so I was very thankful that I had the opportunity to grow up with a deep relationship with the land, and those teachings of having a relationship filled with respect and gratitude for all that creation offers us in our day-to-day life was nurtured in me as a young child. And so I operate a business called Missanokama, and that translates from Mi'kmaq to English to all my relations. And what that is referencing is all of our relatives that are not just human relatives, but thinking beyond the human world. And so looking at our relationships with the stones or the mineral family, looking at our relationship with the plants relatives, as well as the animal relatives, and seeing them as part of our extended family. And so that concept, all my relations, is looking at all of these beings as part of family and to treat them with the same respect and love and gratitude as we treat our human loved ones. So the work that I do focuses upon, I guess you could say reconciliation. This word reconciliation is a buzzword that's often spoken about that needs to happen with Canadians and Indigenous peoples, or the state and Indigenous peoples. But it's also important to note that reconciliation also needs to happen with the land, because the land has been and continues to be greatly harmed. And so I say reconciliation because when we really look at that definition of the word reconciliation, when you look at the Webster Dictionary, it kind of speaks of restoring friendly relations. And if we look at history and we look at the true history of what's known today as Canada, that friendly relations was a very short period of time in history. And so, but I also use that word reconciliation to put action into. So that's where people connect with the land, slow down, tune in through their senses. I share about the foods and medicines growing. And it's important to know that, the work that I'm doing is creating that opportunity for people to return home to that relationship, because all of our ancestors at one time and place throughout history were in a deeper, more meaningful relationship with nature or with creation that was culturally specific and unique to where people were located. But throughout history, many peoples have been violently severed from those relationships. So that's a little bit about the work I do, other than, other kind of conservation stewardship programming that I do, and starting that with turtle protectors, Michigan Gajajuan, which is an initiative that I started with somebody in the park where I'm living to support those turtle relatives.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for introducing us to the wonderful work that you're doing. And you'll notice, our listeners will notice that we have Laurel Goodings with us as well. She's the creative director for Eco Wisdom and a nature and forest therapy guide. And we also have Kim Dunlop, who is a leader of our mentors. And she's also a nature and forest therapy guide certified with Eco Wisdom. So you'll hear people popping in and out of conversation here as we explore some interesting ideas. And I thought, you know, maybe we could put our conversation in the context of what ecowisdom is doing. Does that make sense, Charlotte?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so you know, ecowisdom is taking a sort of a somewhat unique approach to nature and forest therapy in that we're really interested in inclusion and accessibility. And most of our guides and trainers, including myself, we have lived experience with disability or chronic illness, and so we have not been prominent in the vision of many members of society when they think about nature. And when they think about nature guiding or nature therapy, especially providing the nature therapy, maybe as recipients of nature therapy. But we flipped that around, and we have really skilled people like Kim and Laurel here who bring their expertise and their background and their knowledge and their life experience to guiding groups of people. And so we are heavily immersed in the disability sort of realm and thinking about inclusion and expanding that circle and challenging ourselves to expand that circle with the same kind of respect that we want as people with disabilities. And so we have, you know, we have guides who are gender diverse. We have guides who are diverse in many, many different ways. And we are constantly challenged to think about how do we offer this training? How do we offer our programs in a way that is accessible, inclusive, respectful, compassionate, and ultimately, the work that we do with ecowisdom is tied to the land. So ecowisdom is run out of the Ecowisdom Forest Preserve, which is where my partner Dave and I live off-grid. And we live in what I refer to sometimes as beautiful, but sometimes inconvenient ways, where we are melting the snow to get the water for a water source in the winter, for example. But it is our honor and our pleasure to do this as part of us working through our reciprocal relationship with this land that has provided me personally with so much healing, so much accompaniment, so much comfort when I need it most and when I continue to need it most. And ongoing, it's so generous, the land. And we live with the animals. So we have wild roaming moose and wolves and deer. And yeah, we've got some new birds that came this morning. Anyway, so we're living where they have allowed us to occupy this land with them. And so we're using the solar panels to power our computers to like run these programs that are sometimes often virtual, whether it's training or programming. And we come back to and we incorporate ritual that's on this land. So we'll have the fire going, for example, at the end of a program and let people just sort of absorb this land virtually. So I just wanted to sort of put that out there as the context for our conversation. And this is why, I mean, I'm just so thrilled to have Carolyn come and be part of this work that we're trying to do to understand equity, inclusion, reconciliation, how we can take these steps forward. So I just wanted to open it up and sort of see if anybody wanted to say anything about the sort of somewhat different way that we're approaching nature and forest therapy. It is different in terms of what's out there. And just anybody want to jump in?
I think you're talking about there's another inclusiveness. The show, this podcast series, Ecowisdom Conversations, is being hosted by the program Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon at CJSF. And at CJSF Simon Fraser, the campus is on a mountain and there are many trails. One day I was waiting for the bus and I saw a sign that said something about bears and I showed
was talking to my brother, and he said, "Girl, you better get out of there. They got bears up there running around." But we haven't had any incidences of bears attacking you and Dave in the preserve area. And I think a different conversation, too, when we talk about inclusiveness and people with disabilities, but also intergenerational. Many colleges are now talking about neuroscience and brain plasticity. So I was really excited when I was telling someone about Eco Wisdom being aired on CJSF. They said, "Oh, you talk about brain plasticity, how things change connections. This group really gives an opportunity in its conversations to connect. So much works to talk about the differences in Gen X or this generation versus the other. But we've been able to see with the way that the presentations are made in the park, maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the ways progress that you've had with the parks, doing things to make the parks more accessible. So again, it's intergenerational and it's something that helps connect to the tax dollars we pay. But could you mention a little bit about this inclusiveness going beyond just for seniors or for people that have lived experience of disability, how it helps even the caregivers? A lot of people, when people are discharged from, I get emotional about this, but post-surgery, I happened to sit in a hospital where six different teams of doctors after surgery came up to the people and said, they're going to have to tough out months of pain, and there's going to be, all they talked about was the pain. So I think these conversations give an opportunity to talk about some of the specific things that you learned as guides that help people to have a choice beyond these physical and addictive medicines is the only way to deal with disabilities and pain. So,
Kim. You know, one thing that comes to mind, Charlotte, is that we're flipping things around in that we're seeing ourselves as people with disabilities with capacity, and we're opening our hearts to all of the benefits of connecting with nature. And so we use nature informed therapy guide often peer support. Leading to people with chronic illness, people with disabilities, as somebody else is the expert who's gonna fix our relationships as reflect nature. Nature is diverse. Nature is adapting. We are diverse. And we need to learn from nature to accept ourselves. And so it all comes back to the land. But we are, when we think about these medical systems and stuff like that, and you know, there's a long history. And it's not that medicine doesn't have a role. It's when that becomes the dominant way of being in the world and society, it becomes problematic, right? So we need to understand where power lies, and we are introducing this new approach where we have guides who have personal experience with chronic illness or disabilities so that they can model and demonstrate and facilitate deep conversations about inclusion and belonging. And that's, I think those are some really big themes that came out of the research, right? Right, Kim?
Definitely. That was a huge theme in all of the research that we've done so far. And I know personally, when I think about what I've learned from EcoWisdom, from our wonderful guides and teachers, and from all the people that all our peers, when I'm in nature, I forget about the labels. I forget about, things slough off and I feel more connected than I've ever been in my life. You know, it's a huge gift, just a huge gift. And to be able to share that with others is such a blessing. And it's so individual. That's the other part, is learning how to just sit back and listen is an enormous part of the program part of learning reciprocal relationships. Just seeing that every single person is such an individual, and every person, every piece of plant and nature brings so much. It's just this enormous, phenomenal gift if we open up. When we open up.
Yeah. And I think this is where that neuroscience piece comes in that Charlotte was referring to. We talk a bit about, because my background is in psychology and neurology, I reference a little bit about that. There are ways, neural pathways we can open through practices, right? But when we, and sometimes people need to hear that, but other people, it's more of a spiritual thing, or they have other, once they have the direct experience in our programming, then something goes click and they're like, ah, yeah, this is what I need in my life. But for some people, they want to hear the neuroscience piece of it. But in other situations, other settings, we don't go there. But there are these, really what we're doing is we're learning to be still. And when we learn to be still, we learn to be receptive. And when we learn to be receptive, we have this we receive. And then we have, and it just automatically leads to this tremendous gratitude, right? And as part of that, for people who have disabilities, who have been rejected and told that we're broken and this and that, and we don't fit, I've just heard, just in the last week, two stories of people trying to get employment, situations, and it's like, you don't fit our box, therefore you can't fit. Like, go. We're not going to adjust our box size, forget it. Anyway, so given that context, it's such a gift to know that we belong, that we're okay, and that our relationship with nature can sustain us.
This is Charlotte Ferrer, your own Sister C, and I want to thank you for sticking with us for the last week of May. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for saying how much you appreciated having gratitude, an imaginary backyard buffet. I hope it's given you some things that it will carry you through the summer and spark your imagination. You're welcome to send me an email at imsistac@gmail.com. Let me know if you are a person who would like to share your creativity. Let me know if that there are other artists that you would like to hear us play on the show. We, as you know, are a place where independent musicians, new writers, have an opportunity to get on, share their passion, their projects, and they don't have to pay anybody to get on. So I just am going to say, you know what I say when they ask me what time it is. You know it is always love time, poem time. See you again next time. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play.